Please join me in the prayer for illumination. God of light, whose wisdom shines like stars in the midnight sky, make these holy words clear to us so that our eyes will see your salvation and our lives will be radiant before you. We pray expectantly. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our psalm for today comes from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7 and 10 through 14. Give the kings your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. May the kings of Tarshish and the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Shebae bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Having already heard the story of the Magi read from Scripture in for the children's sermon, I'm not going to read it to you again, because I think this is a story that we are familiar with. We have heard it read on Christmas Eve, and then we've heard it read this morning, the story of those who came from far away to pay homage to a newborn king, the king of the Jews. We have all survived to this point. We have survived the hustle and bustle of this particular holiday season. So congratulations to all of us who are sitting here today, who know what it is like to have to go through a busy season, thinking about so many extra things that it is almost a sense of relief whenever we can come in to a place and just hear the story of God's presence with us. So often we think of Epiphany Sunday as the Sunday to reflect on what it is we have to bring to Christ. We think of it as the day whenever we reflect on the wise men who came to and the gifts that they brought, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, that they came to pay homage, to worship, to venerate this newborn king as they imagined that they would meet. And so they brought him these kingly gifts. And a lot of times we use this Sunday to think about the gifts that we have and that we can bring to Christ to dedicate and pay homage to him. I'm sure some of you have seen the old cartoon that it's the little drummer boy standing outside of the house with Mary inside and a little baby, and it says, who in their right mind thought it would be a good idea to offer the gift of drums for a newborn baby? It would be a good idea to go, I know what I'll do. I'll bring Jesus the drum, you know, and it's, you know, every parent in the room goes, that was such a bad idea. But we think about this. We think about what we have to give to Christ. But today, I want us to think about, once again, the gifts that God has given to us. Because this really is, this season of the year is about the magnitude of God's gift to the world in Jesus Christ. So, as we have, this is the last Sunday for us to have our sanctuary decorated for this season, and we have lit one more time the Advent wreath. We, through the season of Advent, lit the candles of hope and peace, joy and love, and finally the Christ child, the Christ candle. But today, I would like us to spend one last Sunday thinking about these lights that shine so brightly, that are continued into the Epiphany story, the story when God appears to those from a foreign land, when God appears to the Gentiles, when God makes it clear that it is not just for one group of people, but for the whole world, that the Christ child is sent to bring redemption, to bring salvation and forgiveness, and to build relationships with all of humanity. And so we reflect on the hope that is carried through into the Epiphany story, the hope that God is still at work in all people, that signs came to the Magi in ways they could understand. There is great hope for us as disciples, many generations and thousands of years separated from the birth of Christ, for us to be here today and recognize that God came to these Magi in a way that they could understand. They were astrologers. They were watching the stars. They were practicing something of divination that we all have a tendency to downplay. We may look at the horoscope in the paper just to get a chuckle, but these people devoted their lives to looking at the stars for signs of things that would happen and prophecies that would be fulfilled. And so in their own way, they saw what God was doing. And we understand that this carries over, that God does come to people in ways that they can understand. The Magi traveled with hope. When they left home, they had hope that they would find a new king, that something was going to be fulfilled, and they would find this king. They would pay homage. They would bring these kingly gifts. And then if things worked out right, they would be favored by this king, because there was a bit of a quid pro quo whenever people would come to give gifts to a newborn king or pay homage in the way that they were doing it, that it would be noted what they gave. And then in the future, there would be favor that would be given to them from that government. So it was a way of, you know, saying we're getting in good with this new king. And so they thought they were going to get something in return. And this was a hope that was in their heart. But of course, we understand that as the story played out, it was nothing like they had expected. And indeed, they got more than they ever imagined receiving. It was more than some political quid pro quo. And instead, they got to participate in God's story of redemption for the world. So the hope that they had was multiplied, and the candle, the light of hope, lived on in their story. Peace, the candle of peace, carries on into the Epiphany story as well. We understand that as the Magi came to visit Herod in Jerusalem, that he was a bit of a tyrant, and so were the Herods who followed him. That he was a paranoid person in some respects. He wanted to make sure that his power was never threatened. And whenever someone showed up on his doorstep asking where the new king of the Jews was, and he was standing there thinking, what, you know, this is not a good thing to be hearing. I'm the king of the Jews. As far as I know, there is no new one. And he sets in motion this scheme of deception and attempts to find Jesus himself. And of course, we understand eventually to do away with Christ as he tried in the slaughter of the innocents in just a few verses from this passage. We understand that there is tyranny in the world. But in these moments, God worked to thwart the injustice of that tyrant who was seeking out and to kill innocents and to attack the threats of his power. We understand that God, even in the face of injustice, wants us to stand for peace, that it is not God's desire for us to be conniving, for us to stand with those who would perpetuate injustice, but instead shines this light that this baby was the one through whom God would transform the world, not some great tyrant or great politician or great power and military might. No, it would be through the Prince of Peace that God would transform the world. So the light of peace continues in this story. Then there is the candle of joy, the one pink candle in the Advent wreath, that it is perpetuated in the story of the Magi, of Epiphany, of seeing God. There is joy. And it says in the story itself that whenever they saw the star had stopped over this place and they met the baby, that Jesus, that they were overcome with joy. And I think many of us are overcome with joy whenever we meet the baby. We're also overcome with joy when finally we get to the destination that we have been seeking and traveling. And granted, these guys had been all over the place. Finally, they get to the place that they have been seeking, and they are overcome with joy. This is the joy that we all can experience as we encounter the Christ child in our lives, when we encounter the one that God sent out of great love for the world, when we encounter this one who came to us to live, to be born, to live, to die and rise from the dead, to help us be the best human beings we can possibly be, to be in relationship with God and one another, We can experience this joy even when the circumstances are not as we anticipated them to be. The Magi had anticipated time in a palace, and instead they come to a humble, normal, everyday home. They had brought these great gifts for a king, and instead there's a toddler, there's a baby. What is the, you know, he would chew on the gold, teething. You know, who knows? This is not what they anticipated. And yet, this is the way that God was going to transform the world. And in those moments, these men had come so far and they rejoiced at what they encountered. So the light of joy continues into this story. And finally, the light of love, where Mary and the baby are together. Jesus is embodying the love of God for all the world, sending these magi, these Gentiles, to share the word of what they had seen, the miracles they had experienced, and perhaps even to lay the ground for the work at Pentecost and the beginning of the church as the good news spread even to where they were from, probably in Iran. They had traveled far, and they took these stories and these experiences back with them when they left, the love of God that they had experienced, and they told those stories. And whenever we read on in the second chapter of Acts, it says that there were people there at Pentecost from this area of the world. Perhaps they had been made ready for the Holy Spirit by the stories that these men had shared. And it's true that one of the oldest churches as a denomination or as a movement in the world is from where these magi were probably most likely from, the Assyrian church. There, for ancient days, the church has been alive and shining the light of love. And these magi saw it, witnessed it, and took the experience back home with them. So the light of love continues to shine. Epiphany reminds us that we don't have to put away the miracle of Christmas along with all of the decorations. Christmas is alive, and the lights still shine, and we live into and carry that light with us every single day. We join the Magi who came seeking the new king as we come seeking God in our daily lives. We are like the Magi who came to worship him. And we join the Magi as we go back home to the places that are very foreign to the little town of Bethlehem. Our lives are filled still with the light of Christmas. We join the Magi as they walk the political and ethical tightropes that we saw them walk. We join them as we seek how God works in our world and how we are to reach out to those who don't know Christ and to be aware that God does guide those who have no idea of who Christ is. God does lead them to encounter Christ, sometimes in very peculiar ways. And all of this, we can see that God came into this world to show us the way to God, the way to live in community and the way to live into our humanity as best we can, to be the creatures that God created us to be, to live into the kingdom of God as best we can. God came to be with us at Christmas, to never, ever leave us. Even when we are like astrologers, outsiders who recognize Jesus, even when we are the foreigners who worship him. In Jesus' life, God teaches how expansive is God's grace and love and welcome for all. So we live into this Christmas and Epiphany gift, and we continue to do the work and ministry that this gift brought into our hearts so people can see in our lives that God is alive and God is with us. And we can allow God to work through us to impact and change the world. And a lot of times we think of this in terms of great action, like packing up and going on a great journey so that we can share God's love and change the world. Sometimes we think that if we are not changing the world and living out our faith in a grandiose way, that it doesn't really count all that much. We seek out the people who write the books and have great testimonies and who do wonderful and magnificent things, and we listen to them and we hear them and we think, oh, how wonderful it is that they had those opportunities. And that's true, but we forget that it is in our daily lives and through the miracle of Christmas and Easter being alive within us that God transforms the world and that love is lived out every day, building those bridges and reconciliation every day. Our commitment to living our faith can witness to the power of the Holy Spirit at work every single day, in small ways and in great ways. And so we need to think in terms of the great lights that are shining from our own lives, the lights of peace and joy and love and hope that we shine in the world. As many of you, as all of you are aware, I am sure, that former President Jimmy Carter passed away. And this in a few days ago, and there have been the beginnings of the eulogies and that sort of thing have started as his family gathered with those at the Carter Center and were speaking to the people there and about the work that they did. And Chip Carter, one of the late president's sons, shared a story about who his father was and how he chose to parent. Now, I don't want to stand up here and talk about politics. You can judge and rate his presidency on your own time. But we all know that Jimmy Carter was a man who tried to live out his very deep faith throughout his life, before his presidency, during him, and after his presidency. He lived a long and full life, but he was a man of faith, at times a very simple, concrete thinker, and yet could envision such great things to carry out what he believed was his calling to live out the love of Christ in the world. So Chip Carter shared that there was a time when he was in eighth grade, when President Jimmy Carter was just a peanut farmer and daddy. He shared that in the eighth grade, Chip came home from school on the last day before Christmas break with an F in his Latin course at school. He didn't think it was very important to learn Latin because nobody he knew actually spoke it. So he didn't put much time into learning Latin. Chip says his father was not very happy with him and asked if he could have Chip's Latin textbook. So Chip gave him the textbook and started to enjoy his Christmas vacation from school. But Chip said that day, Carter came home from work and after dinner sat down with Chip for an hour and a half to teach him the Latin that President Carter had learned that day at work. And this went on every day for 2 weeks through Christmas break, that President Carter would go to work, find the time to learn Latin, and come home and teach his son what he needed to know. After Christmas break was over, Chip went back to school, explained what had gone on to his teacher, and asked if he could take the test again. The teacher said yes. Chip took the test, and he aced it. He said that this was the kind of parent his father was. He didn't punish Chip for failing Latin, but he walked with him through the learning process, taking his own time to teach his son what he needed to know, giving him the tools he needed to succeed, and walking through his life alongside of his son. I think this is the way that God parents us, as we see in the example of Epiphany and Christmas. He came to live and show us how to live, to give us the tools, not to be overwhelmed with anger and point out our failings and wag a finger, no, but to walk with us, to experience this life with us. He does not ask us to change the world. That was what Jesus himself came for. But Jesus did model for us how to be in relationship with God. And like Jimmy Carter parented his own child, God parents us with grace and nurture. And these are at the heart of Epiphany. Grace and nurture for worlds of people from wide and varying backgrounds, with immeasurable perspectives and needs. And we learn that God is here for all of them. God is parent to all of us. God is here in the Holy Spirit, continuing to love us, to teach us, to guide us. And we are here, worshiping, paying homage, giving our gifts, putting one foot in front of the other, not to change the world, but to live our faith so that God can change the world through us. So today we live into the gift of Epiphany, knowing that God has come to us, called us to him, and to God we walk, run, or crawl. But this is the time for us to remember that God is with us, still guiding, still calling, still leading us onward. I'd like for you to take a minute and look at your bulletins. On the covers of your bulletins, you should have a star. If you don't, you can grab a bulletin on the way out that has a star on it. On the star are words that come from the Christmas and Epiphany story. And I invite you to take this star home with you. Put it in a place where you will see it every day. Maybe put it in your Bible or your devotional book. Put it on the refrigerator, on your coffee pot, on the mirror, someplace that you're going to see it every day, so that you can think about the word on this, and consider perhaps how God is leading you through this word, this star of Epiphany that you have been given. I will admit that my star says patience. God leading me to patience, I don't know what that message is, but I'm sure I will discover it. But words of love, faith, forgiveness, presence, rest. How is God leading you through this word that you have received? How is this star guiding you? Think about it and pray about it over the next months. And I promise you that next Epiphany, we will have an opportunity to share how these words have been present in our lives through the year as we have sought God's guidance and God's presence with us, and we will be able to share our story with each other. We say today that God is with us, and today we're going to come to the table and we are going to celebrate once again how Christ is present. There is an epiphany to be seen today in the bread and the cup to remember how God is present with us. And for all the things that God has done, we will offer thanks. So let's prepare our hearts to receive communion. You may remain seated as we sing our hymn of preparation, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Let's sing together. Let's pray. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. We look to you and we are radiant. We thrill and rejoice as nations come to your light and leaders welcome your dawning. You call us to arise and shine, for your glory has risen upon us. Blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior. With the ancient Magi, we come to pay him homage. We give him the treasures of our hearts and our lives. As his star shines down upon us, we are overwhelmed with joy. Remembering your goodness and grace, we offer ourselves to you with gratitude as we share this joyful feast. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this bread and cup. Make us one in the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. By your Spirit, make us bold and confident in our faith as you reveal to us the mystery of ages, your plan for the world to bring all peoples to the knowledge of your grace in Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, in unity of the Holy Spirit, we bless you, God of glory, now and forever. Amen.